You there, adventurer? Yes, you. Do you desire knowledge of immense worlds and arcane power? A codex of untold stories and lore? Or perhaps simply easy listening for your daily commute? Then feast your eyes, or more accurately, ears, upon Dungeonpedia. Shit's about to get nerdy in here.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Dungeonpedia, an exploration into the lore of Dungeons & Dragons. We're your hosts, Lewin Markell.
Taylor Stanfield.
And I'm Travis Beasley. So, I know that we've talked about this sporadically throughout, but I've gotten further in the next campaign that we're going to do.
Yay!
And I now have a deadline set for when I have to be at least done enough to get the campaign started.
Oh yeah?
And that's going to be probably mid-October.
Mid-October.
Is what I'm going for, especially considering that we're taking like a whole week off in September.
Oh, yeah. We'll be on a cruise in September.
And I don't really feel like working on the campaign on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. I thought you like were including that as part of your decision for this deadline because you're like, I'm taking a week off work. I'm going to work on my Dungeons & Dragons campaign while I'm on a cruise.
Yeah, we'll just be... Like
that was my first
going
thought.
Around the Caribbean islands and everything, relaxing, and I'll look over and Travis will just be furiously typing on his laptop.
And you're like, "Hey, babe, do you want to go do the shh?"
Which
I'm working.
Will really suck because
I'm working.
The unlimited data package for cruise Wi-Fi is expensive as hell.
Yeah, we're not buying it. Like we'll be leaving all of the files and all of the access with Lewin and be like, "Have fun for a week."
I mean, you don't need Wi-Fi for, like, Notepad.
Okay, that's fair.
And I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but if it is of any relevance, the next campaign will actually be a separate podcast that we'll be releasing.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned it, like, very briefly, but...
Yeah, so but, like, for real, though.
If anyone heard that and was interested when, hopefully our first episodes will come out roughly around November.
Late October, early November, one of the two.
Just kind of depending on when exactly I get it done. But mid-October is when I want to be able to have enough stuff done to get started.
No, yes. Don't phrase it that way. Like, you're going to be done.
Yes, you're going to
be determined.
Done. You can do it.
I will
it.
Be done.
And yeah. I am almost finished with my character's backstory. So, like...
Oh, good for you.
And Jacoby is working on it. One of our friends who is also going to be in the campaign. He's working on his. So, let's all just glare at Gluin.
Gluin?
Glare at Lewin for a second.
I'm the glue that holds this friend group together.
No.
By giving everyone a target for their mean looks.
Correct.
That's how you all come together, is so you can shame me. Listen, I just like, I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but I like hype myself up too much. And like, I think that there's just like, I want it to be better than like, I think maybe... You know, I don't know. I just want it to be really good. So then, like, I get to a point where, like, I'm trying to figure something out about my character's backstory or, like, oh, I need to make this relate to this other thing.
Right.
And be, like, thematically satisfying. But then I can't. And then I just get frustrated and I just go right back to the drawing board.
I get that. I really do. Like, I was, like, looking at my character's backstory and I was, like, is this too complicated? Is this too much?
Well,
and
it's hard.
And I had to just sit back and remind myself that it's okay. And I can always talk about these things with Travis later and make sure that he doesn't think that it's, like, too much. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, your character could have gone through a lot and maybe very little of it will actually reflect in play. Like, that's fine.
Well, but that's hard. See, that makes it hard. It's
no,
very hard.
I understand, but it'll be okay. I promise.
Character creation is rough.
But also, you have until October. So.
Okay.
Oh, well, less than that, because you need it before
less than that, because I need the information before that. So you have until, like, the end of September.
I, like, roll up, like, on October 16th or whatever. That's the middle of October. Like, hey, I finally finished my backstory. What's up, guys?
Shows up 15 minutes late with Starbucks.
Shows up 15 minutes late with Starbucks and my character's backstory.
Yeah.
Not enough payment for being late.
Oh, it was for Starbucks.
No, the Starbucks is for me. It's not for you.
I thought you were meaning like Starbucks for everyone.
No, it was a meme.
It's not.
Oh, of course it was a meme. It's always a meme with her.
That was my meme, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor was the one.
Yeah, but she was still directly involved, so.
Anyway,
this week's episode, I have brought something a little interesting.
Ooh.
I say that. Everything is interesting.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, everything that we've done so far has been interesting.
I mean, I don't know.
But in this case, I bring to the table not one, but two topics that we're going to discuss tonight.
A two for one.
A twofer.
This is setting a good precedent because now I will feel less bad when I do a two for one in a future episode.
Exactly.
Thank you for setting this precedent when we were too afraid to, Travis.
Yes.
You're welcome.
You were incredibly brave.
So we have two primordials that we will be discussing. One of them is Kazef the Chaos Hound.
Ooh.
That's a good name.
That's a really great name.
And the other one is Atropos, also known as the World Born Dead.
That's an even better name, actually.
Okay, for one, that's a really kick-ass like title to have, but also the name Atropos sounds familiar to me.
It vaguely sounds like Atropel.
Yes, but also from something else. I don't know. I'm probably thinking of something else, knowing me.
Maybe. I mean, when I talk about him, you might know him a little bit more.
Yeah.
But
also, just quick sidebar. Can I say that the use of the word hound is always really good?
It is. Like, it's not like the dog or the canine. It's the hound.
The hound.
Oh, just wait until you see what he looks like.
Oh.
He looks like a good boy.
A good boy.
A good boy.
Let's go with that.
A good boy.
A good boy.
Oh, BB.
So I said those in the order that we'll talk about them. So the first one, let's go into Kazef the Chaos Hound.
Yes. Tell me about Kazef.
So he is a primordial that was created. Well, some believe he was created by Jurgle, who is the Lord of the Dead. It's a very odd name.
Jurgle. That sounds like the noise you make when you're, like, gargling water.
It's highly possible that I am pronouncing this name totally wrong.
I mean, how else would you pronounce
Hurgle.
It?
Hurgle?
I don't... Maybe?
Like the soft... Is that not soft? Yurgle?
Yurgle?
I don't know. There are languages that pronounce, like, J's as Y's, right?
Or it's, like, the primordial language is, like... It's like Welsh, where like you just look at it, but it's not pronounced at all like it looks like. So it's not Jurgle, it's actually, like... Just like guttural, scary sound.
Helga.
Right.
Just like
somehow Helga.
No, I was saying like guttural, like scary sounds that like, or just like sounds that a human shouldn't be able to hear because they're on like a different spectrum.
I'm saying this knowing full well that, first of all, let me preempt this with saying that Lewin is a Welsh name.
Hello.
Are you saying that Welsh is a hideous guttural language?
Well, No. I was saying
that would be German.
All languages are beautiful. No, I was saying it's one of the two.
Okay.
It's either just completely different from how it looks, or it's like scary.
Okay.
And guttural and like eldritch almost.
Okay, I get what you're saying. So you're either saying it's stupid like the Welsh language, or
stupid and beautiful.
Or it's scary and like demons.
Yes. But for now, Jurgle.
Jurgle. They say that he created him in a fit of madness.
Ooh.
Because even though he realized that he held sway over the dead and death, when the souls of the faithful died, they would then go live with their respective gods.
Right.
Or God. Yeah. Instead of him.
Okay, so like...
As we've discussed, yeah.
Yeah, he felt kind of slighted by this.
Yep. Jealous and angry.
Also, created in a fit of madness is like, that's probably how I'm going to make my Dungeons & Dragons character.
Oh my god.
And that's some of the best creations.
So this angered Jurgle.
Jurgle.
And so he created the Chaos Hound to punish the mortals and the gods.
Oh.
So that he thought were trying to usurp his domain.
Oh, but okay, for now, he sounds like a Cerberus type figure to me.
In Kinda. A sense. He doesn't have three heads, though. He only has the one.
I mean, he's like a hellhound, though.
He's also known as the Ravage of Heaven.
Ooh.
That's another cool...
Or maybe it's Ravager of Heaven. I saw two different
things.
So Ravage, Ravager.
Both are good words.
Both are good.
Both work. It's just, you know, either or.
Yeah.
Kazef basically roams the outer planes and eats the souls of the faithful. The faithful meaning the ones that believe in... a god are faithful to that god.
Basically, in D&D terms, non-atheists.
Pretty much.
Because in D&D, atheist just means that you don't have a specific god that you prefer.
Pretty much. So like I said, he devours the faithful souls, and he does this before they can reunite with their deity.
Okay, so like when they would be traveling through like the, what is it, the ethereal plane?
Yes, the outer plane.
The ethereal plane's not an outer plane, though.
Yeah, it's one of the transitive planes.
So it's after that, because he roams all of the outer planes.
Oh, okay, so it's after the transitive plane. I just can't remember if it's the ethereal or the astral.
Aren't the outer planes the alignment ones, too, though?
Like yes,
Elysium and shit?
They are, but I'm guessing it would be once you get to the outer planes before you can find your god.
Yeah, like you got to go check in.
Yeah.
And so, like, he catches you outside of the convention hall before you can go and, like sign. And
yeah.
He catches you in the parking lot. This rabid dog just catches you in the parking lot and fucking eats you.
Well, see, now I'm thinking of, like, Sigil, that, like, Outland city that was, that embodied neutrality.
Yeah.
Like, you're wandering around Sigil trying to look for the right... for the right door to get to your god's domain, and
a rabid dog.
And a rabid dog just starts chasing you through the city.
Hell yeah. I had a really specific memory of like staying in a hotel in like Arizona one time, but it was just like pretty much just the hotel and then like desert.
Yeah.
So you're like rolling up to the hotel and then there's just this random dog.
I think anyone who has ever been in Arizona knows that that is every part of Arizona.
I'm just saying that was a really specific like childhood. Like memory. That did like came back to me. And I'm kind of having a moment right now, just so you know. Anyway.
Yeah, you guys are going on some very long tangents today.
I'm sorry. Don't worry. I'll cut it in post.
The taste of the faithful souls are said to be intoxicating to him.
Yeah.
So he pretty much just like relishes in the taste of these souls.
It isn't just like a, he has to, he's been ordered by his master.
He gets enjoyment out of
it. He yeah. gets straight up enjoyment out of it. Now, the souls of the faithless and the false are horrible, vile, and disgusting to him.
I could have told you that.
Because the people, because they he can get like access to them, right? Like the god, what was his name? Jurgle. He has access to the faithless souls already.
Yes.
So it's like not,
and it's not said a whole lot, and it's more kind of implied, but Kazeth basically sustains himself from the power that these souls have of the faith in their gods.
Okay.
So the faithless or the false, they don't have that same, like, divine energy that sustains him. And same with the living. I mean, the living can be faithful, but he cannot eat living beings without feeling disgusted.
Because they still have that. They haven't died yet.
Right.
They're not just
he can't. I'm guessing souls. He can't, like, process the soul the same way if he's the one that kills them.
Okay. Well, that, you know, that does double duty in terms of, like, as he was created in punishing the gods and also making sure that Jurgle has a steady supply of faithless souls.
Yeah.
And also making sure that, you know, Kazeth can sustain himself.
Exactly. Kazeth has been known to rampage across Faerun from time to time.
As you do.
Leaving a trail of destruction and devoured souls in his wake. This is also written as something for, like, a dungeon master, if you wanted to include this. That would be, like, a piece of the, like, lore that the players would find or something.
That, like, he was here at this place and fuck shit up.
Or that maybe there are signs of him returning and it's up to his players to stop him. Which, fucking good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, by you the don't way. Say. I had a feeling.
So any of the souls that are devoured by him are truly and forever destroyed.
So no resurrection.
No resurrection. There's no, they just don't exist at that point.
Okay. They get messed up in there.
They're dead. They're gone. Not even the gods can retrieve the souls once Kazeth eats them.
So it's like, yeah, it's literally converting souls into energy.
Yeah, they're just done.
Hmm. Cool.
So eventually, obviously, the other gods and the deities got pissed.
Right. You don't say.
So they eventually came up with an idea to imprison him in order to protect their
souls.
Worshippers.
Yeah.
I say imprison because he is a primordial. Killing him is almost impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
or virtually impossible. Somewhere in the barrens of doom and despair, I'm not quite sure where that's at. I didn't look too far into that, honestly.
I believe it's one of, like, it's a reference to one of the Outer Planes.
That's kind of what I was guessing.
I feel like we get enough of it from the name, though,
yeah.
to know what the sitch is.
Yeah. Several of the deities challenged Kazef to a simple contest.
Ooh.
Fetch. I'm just insulting this guy.
So, a little backstory to this real quick. At some point, the deities had forbidden mortals and other deities alike to actually traffic with Kazef just because of his general nature.
Yeah.
And for this, they told him that they would lift this ban if he was able to succeed in this contest.
So they were like, we'll hang out with you.
Yeah.
If you can. That's so messed up.
Yeah, basically like, hey, you won't be an outcast anymore if you can win this one little contest. And the challenge of it was escape the bonds that were created by Gond the Wonderbringer. He was the Lord of all smiths. He was an intermediate deity of craft and smithwork.
Cool.
So
he can make some stuff.
So basically they're like, escape the bonds that this god has made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I just say, I think I have an idea of why Travis was particularly interested in talking about this deity.
Is it the soul eating part?
It might have something to do with the with the smithy.
Okay, to be fair, I didn't know about the smithy part until I had already started researching further into it, but
that
was
the point when you were like, yeah.
Oh yeah, I was not gonna shy away after that.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying.
Kazef agreed, but he's a primordial, he's not dumb. He was like, okay, there might be a trick here. So in order to make sure that no treachery occurred, he demanded that Tyr.
I'm going to say Tyr.
I'm going to go with Tyr.
Probably Tyr, who was the lawful good greater deity of law and justice, to put his right hand in Kazef's mouth while they shackled him.
Oh.
So that if any treachery were to happen,
he could just bite off his hand.
He was going to bite his hand off.
He was going to bite the hand that doesn't feed him, but it's a hand in his mouth.
Jesus.
I'm just insulting this poor guy. Like...
So once they had agreed to this, they went ahead and placed the chains on Kazef with Tyr's hand in his mouth. And once the chains were placed, Maestra, the greater deity of magic, surrounded him with a nimbus of pure magic.
As you do.
This magical barrier was able to resist any and all attempts to dispel or destroy it.
Cool.
So Kazef was, at this point... bound.
Yeah, he was stuck there physically and magically.
Yeah. Once he realized this, he bit Tyr's hand off.
Oh, so his hand was still like...
Yeah, no, like...
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure Tyr knew that that was going to happen.
Right.
And even now, when you look up Tyr, because I was curious, mm-hmm. he is depicted as missing his right hand.
Okay, so it became an important part of his, like...
Iconography. His whole thing. Okay.
So yeah, he just clenched his jaw shut and severed his hand.
Nice.
Dang.
Now, this is kind of the interesting part. He was able to feast upon the divine energy, the divine essence from Tyr's hand for hundreds of years.
Oh.
Like the pure energy of a deity sustained him for hundreds of years.
That would make sense since he seems to live off of divine
energy.
Yeah,
since he gets it from the worshippers. Imagine like...
Yeah.
Directly from the source.
Yeah. He was eventually freed by Sirik.
Not that bitch.
Of course.
The deity of strife and lies.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what happened in the intermittent times of him being trapped here, but after he was released, he didn't go back to devouring the souls of the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He instead spent most of his time chasing down Mask, the god of shadows and thieves.
Right.
Yeah, that guy.
Something happened between Mask and Kazef that Kazef, I guess, wanted revenge on.
Yeah, Mask was a guy that had his fingers in a lot of pies. I didn't look up too much about him. I only really know much about Mask from his interaction with Kellenvor and Sirik.
Right.
When he was a sword for a little while.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the kind of guy that he wanted to have one up on like the other gods. So like he wanted to have like this guy owed him a favor and like he had dirt on this guy, so he couldn't take any action against him. So it doesn't surprise me that he would have pissed off Kazeef at some point.
Oh, yeah, he pissed off Kazeef at some point, and I'm sure that we'll be able to tie this episode into one if we cover Mask at any point. But due to his focus of hunting down Mask, he has of yet, and again, this is written kind of as a, for a DM's perspective, but he has not revealed himself to any of the deities of being an enemy to them now.
Right.
Because his main focus is just chasing down Mask.
So they're not at all worried that he, like, broke out of his bondage, are they? Like, are they aware that he's, like, active again?
They're aware that he is active, but he hasn't started shit. Yeah, since he hasn't started shit by eating their souls.
Right.
The gods are kind of like, we're not going to poke the bear. We're just going to leave him to chase down Mask.
It almost kind of feels like Mask took one for the team there.
Kind of did. I'm sure it was not intentional.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of just did it. And the gods were like, yeah, we're going to let this happen.
Yeah, they're like,
well, good luck, Mask. Bye.
I hope nothing bad happens.
And obviously, because he had his hands in so many pies, the gods were like, we're not going to try to save you, so
yeah,
good luck.
At that point, he'd probably made enough enemies that they're just like, whatever, we don't really care.
Just a quick sidebar. The Barons of Doom and Despair, I was right. It did sound familiar. That's because it's an alternate name for Gehenna, which was the...
neutral evil one?
I believe it's the neutral evil slash lawful evil planes.
It's one of those.
Okay. So that's where they decided to make that deal at, then.
Makes sense.
That deal...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, as it were.
That farce.
As it stands for the lore part of it, that's kind of where his whole deal ends. He's currently just spending his time chasing down Mask.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would imagine that would also be like a good time because it never specifies that like later he catches him and kills him or whatever.
Right. It's just.
It's one of those things where pretty much from now until ideally eternity, he will be chasing down Mask and focused on Mask.
Or like in media res, maybe your characters could encounter one or both of them.
Right. It did mention that because of Kazeef chasing him down, this actually stopped Mask from becoming like the top god.
Yeah.
So I guess at one point he was about to, and then Kazeef almost caught up with him, and then he had to disappear again.
Yeah.
So Mask tried at least. I saved the best part for last.
Oh, no.
His appearance.
Okay, I was wondering. I wanted to ask partway through because...
I saved it last intentionally because... Jesus Christ.
All right, hit me with this.
So, at a distance, he appears to be a huge mastiff whose flesh kind of just moves across his body.
Already good.
Once you get closer to him, however, you can actually see that he is a black skeleton... covered with millions of bloated maggots.
Wow.
That are crawling across his body. And they're constantly oozing this yellow-green pus.
Nasty! I love it!
His eyes, like most good creatures, glow red.
Naturally.
His jaws drip with this essence of 1,000 devoured souls.
Wow.
And his blood is corrosive.
Good boy. What a good boy.
I'm not sure I would go with that one.
And the coolest part is he doesn't actually like physically eat the souls with his mouth.
I mean, that would be a pretty good image too, though, I will say.
When he feasts upon a soul, the maggots actually like swarm out like a bunch of little like bees.
Oh my god.
Devour the soul.
Oh my god.
And then swarm back into him. And once he's feasted, it gives him a bloated look because...
He just ate.
He just ate, basically.
Dang, that's so sick.
That, yeah, legitimately.
And, like, I know that if I was, like, face-to-face with this, it would be...
upsetting.
Stomach-turning. But in this, like, theoretical headspace, I'm like, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
All right, now that he's given us a description.
Yeah, I want to see.
Look him up.
I want to see an artist.
He is pretty horrifying.
Anyone that is in a safe position to do so, go ahead, look up a picture of him. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you spell his name?
K-E-Z-E-F.
Okay. Because I didn't spell it that way at first, and I got a band.
A band.
A band.
Whoa. Oh, that's so gross. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, and this one, he's got armor. What?
Now, how horrifying would that be? A primordial who's already almost impossible to kill with armor.
And also, seemingly shedding maggots.
And shedding maggots.
Yeah. Oh, I like, this is a cool portrayal.
Okay.
Ooh.
He's, I'm not going to lie, he's pretty terrifying.
Oh, gross. Sorry, I'm just having a journey in the background here.
The dog lover in me is torn between, oh, he's a good boy, and also, is not a good boy, it's a very scared boy.
And also, like, he's not a dog.
Right.
Like, obviously he's like a hound, like a canine creature. But
he's a
dog-shaped, like,
primordial.
He's an intelligent, you know, thinking.
He's a dog-shaped primordial.
But my dumb monkey brain just sees dog and be like, pet. Pet.
Good pets.
Good pets.
Well, it's like squish, squish, squish.
Ew.
Now, there were other aspects that mentioned about, like, if you were fighting him, what the different things would be. And, like, part of it was his steps, like his foot paw prints.
Yeah.
His paw prints, whatever. Wherever he walked would leave, like, a corrosive pool.
How does he leave footprints? Because he's got, and he's just got bones. He wouldn't have the little...
But, like, it's still, like, it's a skeletal paw print.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I kind of sort of phrased that poorly.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. I guess it's kind of like how your hand is still your hand, even when it lacks all the hand flesh, it's still, like, a...
I just felt like it
skeleton.
Was... Yeah. I just felt like it was notable that he wouldn't have, like, actual paw prints.
Yeah, he has one of those, like, cool skeletal
paw prints. He's got fucking xenomorph blood. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay. I will destroy your... confused image of him by talking about Atropos, who is very different, very not cute.
Okay.
In any aspect.
This is good because I'm very, like I said, my brain is very confused right now. I want to hate him, but then I see like a doggy face and I just, you're a good boy.
And I feel like this isn't always the case because like we've posited, like it's not always that we posit this as being like, this is a good character, but sometimes it's like even when they're supposed to be like a bad character, the fact that we're discussing them or something about them, whether it's like they had a sad backstory or they're a dog, even if they're evil, makes me want to sympathize with them and like them.
Right. Just to be able to put your head, like
yourself,
get in their shoes.
Yeah, yourself in there. Or their weird skeletal dog feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I am excited to not be conflicted anymore, though.
Yeah. Well, Atropos, just a little preview, is basically the size of a small moon.
Oh.
That's no moon.
However, before I tell you more about him and boo you for
we have to come down from that one. This is a bad reference to make.
I mean,
we're
going
to go and... Okay, fine. I can't...
Okay.
Boo you for the reference.
You can boo me for it being pretty low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
I'll own that.
That's fair. We're going to go ahead and take our break first.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about the small-sized moon primordial.
It's the Death Star.
Hey, everyone. Again, have to interrupt, as always. Just saying.
Fair.
We always have to interrupt. And I especially mean, before we go into...
you're owning it, so...
Atropos.
Atropos.
Atropos. That sounds so nasty.
It does.
It's pretty nasty. You'll see.
Oh.
Just have to pop in, do our little ad break here, do our plugs, and then we'll get back to the, well, nasty. I would say lovely, but.
It's not.
It's not going to be. It's going to be a little bit gross.
Yeah. We'll get back to the nasties.
We'll get back to the nasties. Please follow us on our Twitter and our Instagram. Both of those are at Dungeonpedia. We like to post behind the scenes things, random thoughts that one of us has, mostly me during the day, that I'm just like, I wonder what this would be. Like a plane mimic or a boat mimic.
Scary. The answer is scary.
We post our updates when our episodes go live, teasers for what the episodes are going to be for the next week.
Whatever, yeah.
All the lovely fun stuff that you can do on those platforms.
Wonderful platforms.
Wonderful, wonderful social media platforms.
Speaking of wonderful platforms, we also have a Tumblr at dungeonpedia.tumblr.com.
Wonderful is a long stretch for that one.
That's why I said it in a different way.
Yes.
In a sarcastic type of way.
Ah.
Thank you. Well, you know what? Actually, thank you for clarifying my point because, you know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? I like to be clear. We also have our email, which... is dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com. That's your number one resource for sending us like long form stuff, episode suggestions, feedback, anything.
Pretty much anything that won't fit in a tweet, or if you don't really want to just send it to a direct message on Twitter, which I don't blame you. Emailing is probably the better way to get a hold of us.
You can slide into our DMs, though.
Yes.
Our DM's DMs.
Yes, because our DM is the one who usually runs the Twitter.
Yeah, what were you guys thinking when you did that?
Slide into our dungeon masters.
I'm the one. Oh, please don't. Just actually, please don't.
That's what happens every time I read like that where DM is meant to mean.
I do it too. It actually took me way longer than I cared to admit to figure out what DM actually meant in that context.
Hey, check your dungeon masters.
Because I was just like, I don't understand why all these people are talking about their dungeon masters.
Like that.
Everyone wants to nail their dungeon master.
I don't.
On that note, remember to rate us and subscribe to us wherever you so desire and can have that ability. So mostly iTunes for the rating and reviewing, but also just subscribe to us. It's the fastest way to know when we update, usually in the mornings, but you know.
Sometimes I think we have had a few technical difficulties where Buzzsprout was being a little difficult and we couldn't get the link uploaded.
And honestly, who knows if it was Buzzsprout being difficult or just our internet?
It was probably just our internet now that I think about it. Yeah. It is not of the greatest caliber sometimes.
Sometimes. But you'll know when we update. If you are subscribed to us, you'll get the little notification as your podcast player or phone so allows.
With whatever weird name we decide to call that episode that week.
Yes. We have fun naming our episodes.
We do.
But reviews on those would also be awesome. But you know what's even better? Tell your friends!
Yeah.
Spread the word. Let them all know. Dungeonpedia is an okay podcast.
Yeah. Like, especially... Sorry, the processed after I'd already started talking. This is... I mean, that's how I recommend things to my friend. It's like, this thing is okay.
Hey, you know what? It works because it doesn't set the bar too high if you're like, hey, this is like the most excellent thing ever. And then they go into it and they're like, it's all right.
Yeah, tell your friends. It's like a 6 out of 10, you know?
Yeah. Like,
I'll take 6 out of 10.
Yeah, for sure.
That's over half.
They tell a joke sometimes, you know? They cite their sources sometimes.
Sometimes.
All of our sources are from Wizards of the Coast, TSR, and the various magazines that are associated with them.
Yeah, and like novels and things like that.
We have now cited every source that we use in one ad break. Congratulations.
Congrats.
We don't have to do this ever again.
This is our bibliography. Also, you know what? Sometimes it's just my opinion.
True.
We're straight from the real source. The realest source is me.
Jesus.
Big thank you to Alexander Nakarada for our theme song, Blacksmith.
Woo!
Even though this isn't a podcast about blacksmiths.
Though it could be.
It could be. Maybe one day we'll find a good Hephaestus type figure,
you know,
to talk about.
This this podcast is not about blacksmiths, but this podcast does feature a blacksmith.
It does feature a blacksmith.
Yeah.
It's Travis.
He wrote that. Not a great one.
But a blacksmith nonetheless.
A blacksmith nonetheless.
He actually wrote that song for Travis. That's not true at all.
Not true.
Let's quit the misinformation and go back to the information.
The real information.
All right. To Atropos.
Atropos. All right. This Atropos guy.
This Atropos guy.
The world born dead.
Ooh. That's so metal.
Yeah, that is like, that actually does sound like the title of a metal album. I'm not even gonna lie.
It does.
I mean, I just meant metal as like a general descriptor, but it does.
So, Atropos. Obviously, another primordial.
Yeah.
Except this one, instead of like roaming the outer planes, he just drifts through like the gulfs of space. Looking for worlds to consume.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. So he's like a few other just things from pop culture and mythology I'm thinking of.
I'm specifically thinking of a Dungeons & Dragons thing, but fuck it. I'm thinking of The Adventure Zone, which is another Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm sure most people know about at this point.
Yeah, probably.
Because the McElroy brothers are...
pretty widespread.
By all means, amazing.
Prolific. Yeah. Okay, well, you were saying amazing. I just said prolific, but yes. I mean, yeah. I love them.
I do too. They are all very amazing.
But anyways, continue. But yes,
their whole thing. Yeah. No spoilers.
Yeah, it's actually good you said that because I almost said something and then I stopped. And I was like, wait, maybe I shouldn't spoil that.
Yeah. He erases all life on the planets with his touch.
Oh,
so it's not like a... I was going to make a joke about like, yeah, that's what happens when you eat and digest something. But he just...
Yeah, he kind of just like drifts up to them and sucks their life and then leaves.
Okay.
Okay, so he leaves like a bunch of like barren undead worlds behind him.
Yeah, he doesn't consume the planet. It's just he consumes the life on the planet.
He actually look like the Death Star, though?
Not quite.
Are we going to finish off with his appearance, too, like we did with...
I don't actually remember where I put his appearance out in my notes, so we'll see.
It'll be a surprise.
It's a surprise for everybody.
We'll find out together.
The gods haven't even been able to, like, halt his progress at all.
That's not good. Like, at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a primordial. You can't kill him. And he kind of just...
I know, but, like...
They were at least able to, like, stop Kazeth for a while, and they've probably been able to stop some of the other primordials.
Like, they have. Like, they've been, like, giving them little appeasements and, like, saying, okay, stop destroying our shit. Go over here and play in your own little sandbox.
Go over here and play.
But they have not been able to stop him, like, at all.
Hmm. I imagine they just kind of are, like, watching him go, and they're like...
Eventually, that's going to be a real problem.
Let's hope that day never comes.
Right. Now, researching his lore was a little difficult because for this particular primordial, I guess, there's not an exact origin that everyone believes in.
Right. That
which kind of gives a little bit of an issue researching him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found were basically written that scholars have sifted through numerous myths from numerous races over numerous amounts of time.
Mm-hmm.
And have tried to, like, pinpoint any similarities throughout all of them to, like, help with a definite origin.
Yeah, to try to kind of connect the dots and find...
Yeah, but obviously doing something like that is a very huge and, like, daunting task.
Yeah, I mean, because it's
hard.
It's hard, and also it eats entire, like, planets worth of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you may have trouble finding, like, records and shit like that left by them because, you know...
Yeah. Scholars managed to make a small breakthrough by comparing a dwarf creation myth.
Hmm. Cool.
The oral traditions of gray elves and the collective writings of our old friend and archlich, Aseric.
Yay!
Apparently, Aseric's writings were discovered from a strange tower that was deep in the Plane of Shadow.
Ooh.
Yeah, he spent some time there.
So one of his many...
Tombs
that he created.
I mean, it's not like a tomb, it's a tower, but he probably called it a tomb.
Because he likes to call everything tombs.
The tall tomb.
The tall tomb.
Which he then abandoned because he realized that was a stupid name.
Now, even after they were able to pinpoint this whole thing, it's still a little confusing. Because the writings kind of pointed toward a horrible divine accident that led to the creation of Atropos.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Most of them believe that he is the reason that the gods, like, sprung forth into existence from the primeval void. So, like, they believe that some weird accident happened that caused him, and then he caused the other gods. Like I said, a little confusing on how it's all written.
But this posits that he was there before anything else.
Right.
Well, I guess maybe primordials.
This particular primordial, at least, was there before all the others. Well, because Kazeth, even though he's a primordial, he was created by a god.
Okay, yeah.
So Atropos was, like, the first, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It is believed that Atropos caused his own death and then became the afterbirth of creation.
Ew.
Ew.
Yeah. And is basically the wasted materials left over from the formation of the gods.
Ew.
Ew.
I mean, if you're, and I'm not gonna, you might also have something about this. I don't know if there was ever any link to be shown between Atropos. What?
Atropos.
I don't know why I said that so weird. Atropos and like atropals, which I talked about a little bit in the Aseric episode, because atropals were essentially like gods that got fucked up in the womb.
Yeah.
Not in the womb, but like
as in creation.
Yeah, in their creation. So they're essentially like evil gods that never were.
I didn't see any mention of the atropals. So okay.
It's probably just the same atrophy-sounding suffix that they use to sound cool. But that's a similar kind of idea, I think, that, you know, he was supposed to be maybe something different, and then some kind of accident happened, and now he's gross.
Ew.
Yeah, kind of. He was there and then somehow caused his own death and then became the afterbirth of the wasted materials.
Hate that word.
That caused the gods.
I hate thinking about that. Like life is beautiful and birth is beautiful, but ew. I'm sorry.
He's basically death incarnate.
Yeah.
And he draws his energy from the negative energy plane.
Yeah, which is where you find atropals.
Right.
Yeah. So they might be very closely related and it's just not mentioned.
Maybe whoever discovered atropals named them after him. I don't know.
Actually, from what I'm looking at right now, because I just Googled it just out of curiosity, atropals were named for Atropos.
Oh, okay. So my theory was proved immediately correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. So there you go. The only thing left of whatever being Atropos was before his death is what he is now, which is a decaying, disembodied head. Which, like I said, is said to be as big as a small moon.
Oh my.
So you got this moon-sized, decaying head floating around space.
Okay.
Destroying worlds.
Okay.
I'm glad that you said that, because for one, like, it's good to just know what he looks like. Two, the idea of, like, an anatomically correct, like, human head, but decaying, floating around in space is terrifying. And three, up to this point, I was switching back and forth between imagining him as either being just the Death Star or the mask from, or the moon from Majora's Mask.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Actually, if you look up a picture of him, kind of the moon from Majora's Mask.
Also, I know that it says that he destroys with a single touch. Does he poop with his nose?
Or lick them. Licks well, everything.
Maybe
like
he
how
wouldn't.
Like Haunter licks ash.
And then it's just like
yeah.
Except it all decays. He might not have a tongue though. Does he have a tongue?
It doesn't specify.
Because your tongue is very soft. I think it decays pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna imagine he boops the planet.
Planet with his nose. I'm just saying.
Like I just did with my microphone. I very gently booped it, Taylor. I promise.
It's okay.
And then I left a foundation smudge on it. Oops.
So as he drifts through the emptiness between worlds, he casts out this sense that just kind of like looks for any signs of life. Once he detects any signs of life, he'll start to slowly move towards the source.
Okay.
So he kind of like reaches out as he's traveling, like, oh, there's something alive over here. And he shifts and starts heading that way. Like I said, he saps the life from all the worlds he encounters and just drains away the energy as he gets closer to a planet.
Okay, so it's like this slow death until it's all gone.
Yeah, because once he gets close enough to the planet, once he gets close enough to the planet, he actually enters its orbit and then sweeps around and gets closer and closer.
That's horrifying.
And closer to the planet as he like orbits this thing.
Ew.
Oh, what is that movie I'm thinking of? Melancholia?
You just lost me.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to make a Fantastic Four Rise and Silver Surfer joke.
I was just saying that there's a movie where the moon just keeps getting closer and closer and closer to the planet until it impacts and explodes.
Ah, I mean, that's kind of it. Now, the cool thing is, as he gets closer and closer to the planets, these odd effects will start to happen.
Yeah.
The closer he gets, the more weird shit happens. And it basically all ends with
death.
The same thing.
It all escalates with this.
It kind of starts with the dead start to rise from their graves.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit at a time, and then the closer he gets, the more it happens. And then eventually nothing living on the planet will remain.
Zombie party.
So the dead will raise from their graves, swarm the planet as he's like also draining the energy from the planet.
Yeah.
And then when he leaves, all I picture now is just a world full of undead.
Zombie party.
That's actually better than what I was picturing, because I was picturing like absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I was picturing a barren rock with maybe some skeletons.
Yeah, well, a bunch of skeletons.
Well, yeah, a bunch of skeletons.
Which might also be. I mean, it's not specific. That's just kind of what I picture. Is once he leaves, it's just a barren planet with a bunch of undead walking around.
So can he kill things that are like otherwise unkillable? Like demons and Rakshasa, for instance.
Yeah, like if he...
You know, I'm not sure. I want to say probably.
Since he's draining their life force and they do still technically have a life force.
Since they're still living, probably.
Yeah.
There's an interesting fact about him, though, that's also a little sad.
Oh no.
So Atropos is self-aware in a much different way than most mortals can even, like...
Comprehend. Yeah.
Its memory extends all the way back to the moment when it brought forth the gods. And as it's roaming, it constantly just like laments about this.
Oh.
And laments on this decision that he made, I guess, to destroy himself and bring forth these gods. It would undo its sacrifice if it was stripped of its incredible power. So he was kind of like tortured in the sense that his memory goes so far back that he can remember doing all of this and would immediately take it away if given the option.
Huh. That's really fucked up.
That is actually really kind of sad. So it sounds like he doesn't want to do this. He just has an innate...
He has to.
There is a reason why he does it.
Oh, okay.
He devours this life energy to replace the energy that... I say he. It's an it. I don't think it has a specific...
Yeah.
...gender title. Mm-hmm. But basically to replace the energy that it gave. But here's the kicker. Because it's made of straight negative energy, any life energy that it takes in is just instantly negated.
Huh.
So no matter how much he takes, he's never getting back the energy that he expended.
So could he just decide to fuck off and like stop and die?
I don't know if he would die, but he could probably just decide to just stop and...
I'll cease to function at some point.
Yeah, I don't know.
At that point, he might become a lifeless... Well, not a lifeless, but a solid mass just floating around. He still would be alive, but he might not have the energy to actively move the way he does.
Who knows? Maybe at that point, he'd just be... like, implode on himself and become a black hole and threaten more people than he does now.
Yeah. We just have, like, Space Age Faerun, and they're just, like, flying around in their spaceship, and they're like, oh, yeah, and there's the Atropos head. Isn't that fucked up?
Isn't that a fucked up thing?
Yeah, he made the decision one day to stop going around and killing planets, but now he's just, like, here, off in this weird part of space. Isn't that fucked up?
Hey, kids, don't sacrifice your energy to become a negative energy entity. It doesn't work out well.
Don't kill yourself to create more people. Doesn't turn out well. Then you're just ahead.
Okay, well, here you go. How about this?
Oh.
Atropos is actually aware of all of this. He's aware of the fact that no matter how much energy he takes, it won't replace what he gave.
How does he keep doing it?
And, Atropos suspects that the instant life is swept completely from the material plane, that the gods would cease to exist. And with this happening, it too will cease to exist.
So he's doing this because he wants to die, for real.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Oh my god.
So he's roaming around, trying to destroy all life on the material plane to try to get the gods from living so he can stop living.
Oh, man.
That's really heavy.
That is actually very heavy.
That's really fucked up.
And there's no specific statement that says that that's actually what would happen to him. That's just what Atropos suspects would happen.
He's willing to take that chance.
That he could just end up destroying everything just to eventually meet the same end.
Yeah. So while it started off with a evil primordial just destroying life,
It's actually kind of sad.
It is.
That's
really
like, that's even like, I feel like that goes beyond sad.
That's like,
that's just like
upsetting and existential.
Yeah, that's like, I'm having a moment over here and I don't like it.
Just I don't
like
either.
His head.
Aww. Oh my God.
That's it. That's all I got on him. That's kind of where they
it's
were.
It's sad, though.
Well, I don't have a happy ending for
him. Hey, well, remember when you said that we were going to have less conflicting emotions about this one?
Well, I said you wouldn't have any conflicting emotions about Kazef.
I mean, fair.
I mean, you had to know that we would have conflicting emotions about Kazef. Because we're dog people.
I mean, yeah, I kind of already knew that.
And that now I'm just sad.
Yeah, so this giant floating head just exists.
Also, just as a note, I don't know if this was potentially an influence on him. And I also don't know a lot about this particular person. But the reason that Atropos sounded so familiar to me, and I know that D&D Atropos is spelled differently, is because Atropos is the name of one of the three fates from Greek mythology.
Oh!
The oldest of the three fates, I'm pulling this from
Wikipedia?
Yeah, from this Wikipedia search that I did real quick, was known as the Inflexible One or Inevitable, which I feel like is very much the vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
With D&D Atropos here.
Good on you, D&D writers. That was very, very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. They have pulled a lot of their stuff from... Mm-hmm.
Greek mythology.
Greek mythology.
Yeah.
And other mythologies as well. But
yeah.
So it's highly possible that, one of them saw that and was like, that... I'm taking this putting it in this.
Taking this beautiful woman and relatively, like, I don't want to say minor, because, like, the three fates were, like, important, but not, like,
they
Zeus.
Didn't have a ton of, like, lore and stories about them.
It wasn't, like, Zeus, but, like, we're going to take this woman with, these other two to make up the three fates. We're going to turn it into a big fucked up head that kills planets.
Not to mention just the Greek word of atrophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that might have something to do with it. But I felt like the description of inevitable was kind of in
Which,
line.
Which, admittedly, there are, I don't even remember exactly, there's a lot of different primordials. And I went through the list, and its name caught my eye because Atropos, I was like, atropy?
Yeah.
And then I just continued to look, and...
It was super fucked up.
Yeah.
Dang.
It continues to be super fucked up.
You know, also something I wonder that you may or may not be able to answer, are the gods aware of, not of, like, his existence, but the fact that he may have been kind of their precursor?
I think so.
Like, is it like a Kronos eating his children moment where, like, they know that he existed and did all those things? Again, whatever.
That would make sense, considering the fact that even sages know that.
Yeah.
And, like, scholars in D&D universe.
Now, again, this is also taken from looking at similarities between, like, three different
sources.
Right. So it might depend on the source.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if that is the case, then, yeah, they probably are aware that that's where they kind of came from.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucked up and scary.
Yeah. Which is also, and again, I'm just going to say kind of sad because, and sad and inevitable.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
That's uncomfortable.
This is a sad.
Yeah.
This is a sad.
I just want to have a good time talking about Dungeons and Dragons with my friends, and now I'm sad.
Thanks, Travis.
God.
You're very welcome.
Oh.
I'm glad I could help you in
he
these trying
us.
Times.
May I offer you a head in these trying times? Or perhaps a dog?
Nice.
Surprise, the dog is made of maggots.
Oh. Surprise, the head is going to kill you.
Oh.
Oh. Well, on that note, that's all I got for you.
That very depressing note.
We're going to end on a depressing note. That's all I have for this week.
Yeah, go do some self-care. Go take a bath or, like, cuddle your non-maggoty dog after
also,
that one.
Look up Atropos and just look at what he looks like.
Look at his face.
It's scary.
Stupid face.
But thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on our Twitter, our Instagram, our Tumblr, et cetera, et cetera. You know the drill at this point.
We also still have our email address. We have not yet gotten rid of it. At dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com. Send us your favorite primordial.
Yeah, I mean, we'd probably love to do an episode on it. Because yeah,
if they're all as gross and weird. Because, like, the Tarrasque was, like, something made by them, and that was super fucked up. But, like, if they're all this gross.
I'm gonna make a special request on this one, actually.
Wow.
If any of you are artists, I want to see any renditions you have of Kazef, because there are so many.
Yeah.
And some of them are really cool.
And he sounds kind of fun to draw. I can't draw, so.
I can.
Or Atropos, too.
Or Atropos.
Give some love to that guy. He sounds like he needs it.
If you feel like it and have the time, draw us some lovely primordial pictures. I want to see them.
I might try and get a couple of sketches of Kazef over the week, and we'll see what happens.
I will not.
If
I can't
you
either.
Happen to do that, we'll share them to our social media.
On Instagram. Yay. Don't forget to spread the word, especially, like, the word of the fucked up maggot dog.
Spread the word
the
of...
The fucked up maggot dog.
That's what I'm calling him now.
That's a god I would worship. I mean, I know he's a primordial, but...
Still.
Close enough.
But we would really appreciate it.
Yes.
Yes, we would. So, thank you all again so much for listening. And maybe next week we won't have such a depressing topic. Or we will. Who knows? We'll see you then.
Next week on Dungeonpedia.